Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us again this Tuesday evening from 7 to 8-ish. And we have been talking for some time, reviewing the book of Revelation. And we have a lot to cover. We're excited. We just reviewed chapters 1 through 7, and we're going to begin again on chapter 8. So if you will, I'm going to start off with prayer. Then we'll have a song, and after the song, we'll have scripture, and after the scripture, we'll have intercessory prayer, and I will turn the leadership of the Bible study over to Eric. We're grateful for him to help us. I'm also studying and supporting as well, but as you all know, I am actively working, and it's been crazy. So join us, join us, join us. We're so excited, and I'm going to start us off with prayer. Now, we come before you tonight, and we are celebratory, and we say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, we praise you, we adore you, we magnify you, we acknowledge who you are, and we lift our hands in praise, and we bow down before you with our hearts prostrate. Lord, we know that we're empty pitchers before a full fountain, so we come before you today to just embrace your teaching, embrace your love, embrace the warnings and the information, that the revelation knowledge that you're giving us. So we ask that as we go before you tonight, that you would open our hearts and you would provide us with everything that we stand in need of to grow, everything we stand to be ready to receive, to pour into us so that we can go out and take out this word that we're learning and sharing it with others, warning them that the time is nigh. And so, Lord, we thank you. We glorify you. We magnify your name. We thank you for watching over our loved ones and our families during this season. We ask that you continue to bless those who are struggling with the virus and illness. We ask for health and happiness and wholeness. And we trust you as we go forward in this Bible study to hear your word and be obedient unto sacrifice. We thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
So tonight's readings be, the first reading is from Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 2, verse 4. And the second reading will be Luke 21, 5 through 36. That's Luke 21, 5 through 36. So again, always try to find readings that will enhance the chapter in which we're studying, and so these two will do that. This is Genesis 1, 1 through 2, 4, and this is the New Living Translation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was empty, a formless mass cloaked in darkness, and the Spirit of God was hovering over its surface. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that it was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. Together these made up one day. And God said, "Let there be space between the waters to separate water from water." And so it was. God made the space to separate the waters above from the waters below. And God called the space sky. This happened on the second day. And God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky be gathered into one place so that dry ground may appear." And so it was. God named the dry ground land and the water seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land burst forth with every sort of green and seed-bearing plant, and let there be trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. The seeds will then produce the kinds of plant and trees from which they came." And so it was. The land was filled with every seed-bearing plants and trees, and these seeds produced plants and trees of like kind. And God saw that it was good. This all happened on the third day. And God said, "Let bright lights appear in the sky to separate day from night. There will be signs to mark off the seasons, the days, and the years. Let their light shine down upon the earth." And so it was. For God made two great lights, the sun and the moon, to shine down upon the earth. The greater one, the sun, presided during the day. The lesser one, the moon, presides through the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the heavens to light the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. This all happened on the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." So God created great sea creatures of every sort of fish and every kind of bird. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, "Let the fish multiply and fill the oceans. Let the birds increase and fill the earth." This all happened on the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth every kind of animal, livestock, small animals, and wildlife." And so it was. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to reproduce more of its own kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make people in our image to be like ourselves. They will be masters over all life, the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, all the livestock, wild animals, and small animals." So God created people in his own image. God patterned them after himself. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them and told them, "Multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Be masters over the fish and the birds and all the animals." And God said, "Look, I have given you the seed-bearing plants throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given all the grasses and other green plants to the animals and birds for their food." And so it was. God then looked over all he had made and saw that it was excellent in every way. This all happened on the sixth day. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, having finished his task, God rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from his work of creation. This is the account of creation of the heavens and the earth. I have read for you Genesis 1:1 through Genesis 2:4. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, understanding, and heeding of his holy word.
Amen.
Is Sister Joan there?
Yeah, I am here. Okay, I'm ready.
All right.
That
okay.
Will be, the second reading will be on Luke 21, verse 5 to 36. And it says, some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned in beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, As for what you see here, the time will come when no one stone will be left on one another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Teachers, they asked, when will this thing happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place? He replied, watch out what you are not deceived. For many will come in many names, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourself, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm and will gain life. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Mm-hmm. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful. All your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. The word of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We are so grateful that God is watching over us and taking care of us. And so it's at this time that we, before we ask God for anything, we want to thank him. And as we've asked him for things, we ask that we intercede and pray for not only ourselves, but we pray for others. And this is time for intercessory prayer. I don't know if God blessed you in a special way over the holidays. And if God did, it's time to celebrate and say thank you. But there were some people who did not have the luxury that you had to have food in their stomachs and a place to stay and were struggling. And so we lift up thanks to God and the petitions of support for those who don't have and those who are in need. So at this time, I'd like to take petitions for those who are interested in praying for someone else and having prayer lifted for yourself.
This is Eric. Like prayer for my mom and her health issues. So if you've got some back problems and trying to determine if surgery is the best option. My Uncle WB in a battle with dementia. Trying to resolve what's the best course of action for that. Uncle Wendell, who had a stroke and is recovering, but now has been diagnosed with the virus after being confined to a nursing home for a couple of weeks. Uncle Dwayne, who daily deals with having lost a leg industrial accident, and I want to thank you all for praying for my brother Wayne, who had surgery, and he is mended and doing well. So those are my petitions
Amen.
This evening.
Amen.
It's Brother Carter, special prayer for my aunt that passed away yesterday, and we're just asking for healing for the family.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There are the petitions.
This is Joni Main. Also for, I believe this is family as well as for the whole world to be more stern and firm with the with believing in the word of God, knowing that God is the creator of heaven and earth, and to stay firm.
Amen. Are there others who have a prayer request? You have several on the phone tonight. Brother Brian from Kentucky was on the line, so we asked for prayers and support for him and his family.
Yes.
His children.
Yes.
Dr. Susie. Go ahead, Joan.
Yes, the reason why I mentioned the firefighters were that we were already heard a lot of people and family that the firefighters do help. And just today, actually, one of my husband's patient was saying that he could not pay for the glasses, so he just went there just to tell them, but my husband told him to call the firefighters to help him up, and they just did. They came right away and helped him up. So that's in Brunswick, so I'm not so sure how. The other ones are from New Hampshire. So we thought that if that is very true that they do that, then bless their heart. So unfortunately, on this other side. But they said, you know, remember, we're all going to be those who believe in God. They'll be all stumbled and all in God's hand for Brian and the family.
Amen.
We have water. We have water down here in the basement, but it's not as bad.
Okay.
And thank you.
And it was due to the storm. Do you know
yes.
how many knots were in your area? What were the winds like in your area?
Yesterday, it started yesterday. It was very, very heavy. And it's still raining today over here. But yesterday it was awful last night. I could not go to sleep.
We will lift that up, Ms. Joan, and we will definitely continue to lift up Brian. And Mateo lives in that area. Did anybody hear anything from him on the messenger? I didn't get anything. So just praying for him and his family as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So,
all right.
Did you have any prayer requests, Brett? Go ahead.
Yes. A friend of mine named Susan Ball, her ex-husband, is in the hospital along with her sister. They're both in the same hospital. He's getting ready to have his leg amputated tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And the sister has a cancerous growth that they're going in to take that out in their gallbladder. So I'm asking for prayer for them.
Miracle, supernatural.
Amen.
Yes.
So
Amen.
With the prayers that have been offered, we want to ask once again, if there is anybody else who would like to lift up a prayer concern, you can think about it while I lift up mine. This is Dr. Susie from Maine, and I just ask that you pray for my workload has gotten extensive, but specifically I deal with a population of older people. And asking for protection from the coronavirus. I also serve a group of population that are struggling with suicidal ideation, so I ask that you pray for them as well. There are 12 different people on my list. I also request prayers from myself and my family. And my loved ones, protection from anything that may not be of God, that God would lead, God direct us, protect us, and provide health and wholeness in our lives. And I ask that for everybody on the line and those who are serving in the Bible study, as well as your loved ones.
Yes. Amen.
So is there anyone else? So with that, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. God, we come before you right now, and I just want to celebrate who you are. I thank you for being Creator God, God who holds the deeds to this world in your hands. And I thank you, Lord, because you're able to do all things but fail. And so we come to you knowing that all things that seem impossible to us are possible with you. Lord, we ask a special blessing. I just remember for Edgar Wallace, pastor in Dayton, Ohio, who is struggling with COVID. He's in intensive care. I also ask for his wife who is at home with COVID but doesn't have it to the degree that he does. So I'm asking that you would protect those people who are struggling. You've heard our requests. You've heard our pleas. And so as we come before you, we know that you promise to fulfill our needs, that you, O God, said that if we ask, that you would give us exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can ask for or imagine. So we are trusting you and your word. We're trusting that we've done what you asked us to do, and that is to unceasingly lift up our petitions to you. But we lift them up, Lord, knowing not that it's not going to be done, but that you are going to provide us with a big victory. Because you said that you have overcome the world. And so we stand on the promises that you've given us. We stand on your word that tells us to not to trust in ourselves. Lean not into your own understanding, but in all thy ways.
Yeah.
So we're coming to you, Lord. We're laying it down at your feet, God. We're lifting up our hands to you in praise and petition, and we ask that you bless us. Oh, bless us, Holy God. Bless us, Father. Bless us, Mother. Thank you, Parent, for watching over us and providing for your children. Hallelujah. We just thank you because we embrace it, oh God. We know you as Jehovah Jireh. We know you as Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals. We know you as our banner. We know you, oh God, because you are God alone. And you cannot fail. So we thank you, Lord, and we receive the victory in the name of Jesus. We say amen because we know that it is done.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 So as we go into the further parts of our service, we just ask, oh God, that you bless us in our studies. So, Eric, if you are ready to go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Well, thank you, Dr. Susan. Thanks, everyone, for being here. And can we get kind of a roll call to know who's on the line? I know that Brother Brett is out of Indianapolis, Sister Joan out of
Maine,
Dr. Susie of Maine. I think I heard Sister Shirley.
Brother.
Yes, out of Maryland.
Brother
Massachusetts. Yep, in Ohio.
Maryland. Mm-hmm. Brother Carter out of Dayton. Is there anyone else who wants to speak now? This is not one of those speak now, forever hold your peace. Whenever you decide you want to speak, feel free to do so. Feel free to join in with us at any time. We just ask that when you do, give us an indication of your name and where you're from so that we can continue to build community as we dialogue tonight. We all come with different perspectives, different backgrounds. We're coming to reason together to study God's word and to get a better understanding as a community of believers of the true power of God and what God's word says. And this is based on God's word and not our own interpretation, but what God is saying to us. So we're glad that you're with us. So the last two weeks, we did a review of chapters 1 through 7. And we looked at John getting the revelation of Jesus Christ from an angel that he sent to him. We went through the letters of the seven churches. We got a chance to see a holy worship in heaven around the throne. That would have been chapter 4. Then we got a chance to look at the Lamb receiving his authority, Jesus receiving his authority from God with the title deed, if you will, as we looked at the scroll. And then in 5, the Lamb begins to open the scroll, the first 6 scrolls. And then in 7, there's an interlude, there's a pause. There's a pause from the destruction that God is taking through the first 6 scrolls. And there's a pause for God to bring people that he has set aside to give them favor and to save them. And so in chapter 8, we're going to resume with God's judgment as it relates to the seventh seal. And so as I said a couple weeks ago, there are three, if you will, wraths or tribulation through this. The tribulation period is 7 years, but there are three distinct venues. There's the seals that we've gone through. We're getting ready to go to the seventh seal. After the seals are broken, then there's the trumpet wrath, and then there's the vial or the bowl wrath that we will get into later. But tonight we're going to start looking at the trumpets, and specifically the first four trumpets. So if someone could read for me chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, and then we'll get into dialogue with that.
When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. And I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayer of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayer of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thundering, lightning, and an earthquake.
Amen. Thank you. So tell me about these trumpets. Are they getting ready to start a jazz band or what? Oh.
Okay.
Getting ready to start some stuff for sure.
Right. Not a jazz
yeah.
band, though.
Not a jazz band. You're exactly right.
Right,
this,
not a jazz
This is
band.
Not Louis Armstrong and Donald Byrd and you know, Satchmo and all those folks, right?
Right.
So
right.
What was the trumpet used for through biblical times? Somebody kind of give me an indication of that.
To alert people, I think, to alert people.
Yeah, to alert people.
Announcement.
It was used as a military tool. It was used to assemble God's people when God wanted to talk to them. As we remember what he told Moses when Moses went up to the mountain. It was used as to celebrate when they were worshiping God. But it wasn't a musical instrument. It was a tool.
Right.
And it was a very important tool. And so we have these seven angels that stand before God in heaven that are going to receive these seven trumpets.
Amen.
And what can you tell me, and so we'll get into the trumpets here in a minute, but what can you tell me about the censer, the incense censer?
It's a preparation.
The ones that were to be poured out over the coals once the altar was reached, that they were the prayers of the saints. They were involving the prayers of the saints that would be, that had been martyred and that were seeking judgment and justice.
Sounds like
right, but incense was used in the temple for what purpose? In the temple, in the tabernacle and in the temple. Anybody kind of remember that?
Was it to purify?
Yes.
Purify, it was a sweet aroma smelling to God.
I mean, because you're right, because remember how the angel took the coal purged Isaiah's mouth?
Correct.
The purpose of incense in the temple?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Correct. From the altar.
Right.
So tell me about this altar. Is it a special altar? Is it just an altar? Is it many altars in God's throne room? Is it? What do you remember from your studies about this altar? That he's pouring his incense and mixing these prayers with.
I didn't understand what you said. Could you say it again?
Tell me about this altar. Is it a special altar? Is it just an ordinary
altar?
The altar. Is it? I mean, is it just happenstance that it's there? Is it there? Does it need to be? Is it?
No, time we read that the saints were under the altar, remember?
Yeah.
They were waiting.
Yeah.
Those were the ones who were trying to wait on judgment for the other for the others to come. God told them they had to wait for a while till the others also were able to come and receive their transformation and their robes.
Right. So there is that the only altar in God's presence in heaven?
This is Brett.
This is not a trick question either.
No, I believe back in the fourth or the fifth chapter, it talked about it looked like it was glass.
Crystal.
Yeah, it was pure gold. So it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So real quickly. Real quickly, if you remember back when Moses received word from God on building the tabernacle and all the stuff that was to go into that and how that was to be done, you had an altar for the burnt offering. You had a table for the bread. You had the lampstand. You had the Ark of the Covenant. You had you had an altar for burnt offerings. They were to make specific uniforms for the priests, and all those are can be found in Exodus, basically starting at chapter 22, I believe. In chapter 30, there's an incense altar. And this is from Exodus 30. This is 1 through 10, and I want to read this because it gives a parallel to the altar that this angel is at that we just read about. And I need to preface this because God told Moses that this tabernacle was going to be a copy of what was in heaven.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
He told him it needed to be exact because it was an exact copy of what was in heaven. Okay? So this is this incense altar. Then make a small altar out of shittim wood for burning incense. It must be 18 inches square and 3 feet high, with horns at the corners carved from the same piece of wood as the altar. Overlay the top side of the horns and the altar with pure gold, and run a gold molding around the entire altar. Beneath the molding, on opposite sides of the altar, attach two gold rings to support the carrying poles. The poles are to be made of shittim wood and overlaid with gold. Place the incense altar just outside the inner curtain, opposite the Ark of the Covenant, the place of atonement that rests on the Ark of the Covenant. I will meet with you there. Every morning when Aaron trims the lamps, he must burn fragrant incense on the altar. And each evening when he tends the lamps, he must again burn incense in the Lord's presence. This must be done from generation to generation. Do not offer any unholy incense on the altar or any burnt offering, grain offering, or drink offering. Once a year, Aaron must purify the altar by placing on its horns the blood from the offering made for the atonement of sin. This is a regular annual event from generation to generation, for this is the Lord's supremely holy altar. It is the most holy altar in heaven.
All right.
It provides the fragrant, sweet smell to the Lord, which is why the prayers are mixed with the incense from the altar, because they are very important to the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
So these are the, remember last week we talked about those saints who were under the altar who were asking, Lord, when are you going to revenge us?
Right.
Now the Lord is getting ready to set the stage now. Now is the time.
All right.
So this altar is the most holy altar in heaven. It's not the only altar, but it's the most holy altar. And so the angel fills the incense burner and mixes the incense and the prayers, which is sweet smelling to God. And it says it ascended up to God from the altar where the angels had poured them out. Then the angel fills the incense burner with fire and cast it down upon the earth. And when he cast it down, there's thunder, thunders crash, lightning flash, and there was a terrible earthquake. So now God is pronouncing judgment time. This is the beginning of the next set of tribulations and trials that will devastate the earth. And we read how excellent God felt the earth was when he created it today in Genesis 1. Chapter 1. And now it's come time that everything has run its course. He's tried to get the people's attention. He's tried to get them to understand, to come back to him, to worship him, to praise, honor, and glorify him. And they still won't do it. Not all of them. Those that have accepted Christ are fine, but there is still a whole world that doesn't. And now he says, okay, saints, now I'm going to avenge what they did to you, and I'm going to let them know that my true word, that Christ will be ruler, is coming to pass. So he took a break. He took some people out. You know, in the first four seals, about a third of the population has died. He stops that wrath. He takes the 144,000 out and the other souls that have come to him in the tribulation. And now he's going back to wrath. So can someone read for me? Well, first of all, what do you think about that?
Let me say something before. This is Dr. Susie. And it just, you know, when we started talking about the incense, it just really struck home to me is that, you know, in the Catholic services, they do all kind of incense. And I wonder sometimes, you know, why we pick and choose the different things that we do and don't do. Because as pleasing as this was to God, I don't know why we don't do incense in the church today. Because the importance of this, and this was saying, I'm going to read this to you. It says, the offering of incense was the apex of the daily morning and the evening services. According to the rabbis, this was a part of the temple service that was most beloved by God. The burning of the incense was symbolic of the prayer of the people rising up to God, Psalms 141:2, and Revelations 5-8 and 8:3-4. The offerings of incense had to take place after the sacrifice, because only after the atonement could communion with God take place. After the offering of incense, the priest, the Kohen, pronounced the priest's blessing upon the people. So whenever certain sin offerings were brought, the coals from the incense that was lit that morning were pushed aside, it says. Somebody just called to try to get in. I'm sorry. Were pushed aside, and the blood of the inner sin offering was sprinkled seven times on top of the golden altar. So it just reminds me of how important this incense is, because I think, you know, you hear it and we think of incense the way we know incense. But this is not the same. God had a formula that he expected them to use to offer it. It had to be mixed with salt. So this is a real big deal. And so and because it is a big deal, I'm wondering why we don't use it in the Christian church, why we don't use incense. So that's just a thought.
So can I chime in on that thought? And I do want to know what everybody else thinks about the first, you know, five verses that we read there. But the Christian church now believes that the prayers offset the incense. I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong.
Right. I hear you.
That's what has happened, because even here it says that he mixed the prayers of the saints with the incense.
Yes.
And so you get these people who people who leave one church and way of doing things because they may or may not like it, and they say, well, when I start my own church, I ain't going to do that. I'm going to do something else. Good, bad, or indifferent. But it is pleasing to God. It is important to God. And the word told us that this incense altar was the most holiest altar in God's presence. So, Dr. Susie, I agree that that's probably something that the church should revisit.
Go back. Going back.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
One of the things, Brother Eric, this is Dr. Susan, one of the things that's so important to me through these lessons that we're having is as we read, we're learning things and we're being reminded, just like we, you know, I don't know about those of you who are out there who are participating, but I can't go anymore without saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I can't, because I know how much they're praising God in heaven. So I'm struggling now because here I am as a minister who go before the church, and I know I pray, and I know I offer the prayers, but I also know now that God, and I say, you know, God, may this offering, may these prayers be a sweet incense unto your nostrils. I say that in my prayers in the church, but it's not the same, I wonder, as the incense itself. So anyway, I just wanted to say thank you for, you know, again, the lessons are bringing to light things for me, and I'm going to continually pray about the things that are important to God, because I don't want to be remiss of not pleasing God and taking things, you know, to the Lord that the Lord enjoys. So thank you.
Amen. Dr. Susie, this is Brett. I think a lot of this about burning incense in church is get right down to a health issue. People that has asthma and other allergies and stuff. You know how people are today, even though you call yourself a Christian, but something happened to you and you start choking and stuff, first thing they want to do is sue the church. So there goes your Christianity out the door, you know?
And then but I've got another. This is Sister Shirley in reference to incense in the church. Having grown up in the church as a small child, a lot of the churches were so small, and they were storefronts, really. And the fear of probably having fire or something with
the
elderly
fire.
People around.
Yeah.
You know, that may have been a big contributor
impacted.
To it. So they prayed more than anything.
Right. That's a real strong issue too, the storefront issue of fire.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right.
So
this is Joni Maine. I'd like to share also that actually I grew up with a church like that, and I get involved with it because I think you don't see God. They said you don't see God. Okay, so I don't see God. I close my eyes and look at it. And those ritual, they call it ritual, but I enjoyed it because it's a lot of respect. It's a lot of when we do that. And I miss it a lot, actually. And my main question, actually, is that the very first verse on chapter 8, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. That was so specific. I would like to understand why that is. It actually struck me inside, and then all of a sudden,
Sister Joan, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm
that
glad
was a good question.
I'm glad you picked that up. I'm glad we waited to hear that. So, why do you think,
Eric, instead of answering
it, was?
But instead of answering, there are a whole bunch of people on the line, y'all. Y'all get involved in this question because that's a good question.
I'm asking them. Why do they think there was this silence for 30 minutes? I mean, he's pretty specific, about a half an hour. Why do you think that was? What do you think was going on? That everybody in heaven is quiet.
Yeah. As we go through the trumpet, what it means, I'm beginning to say, wow, that the quietness, and normally we're always so joyful, everything is joyful, that all of a sudden that quiet, I've never heard that before. This is my first time to hear that one, actually. The silence.
So why do you think it became quiet? Why do you think everybody in heaven is quiet?
Well, I would be quiet, too, if I know that somebody's going to come and tear up the world.
Okay.
All right, Joan. All right.
Because God was in the house. That's why they were quiet.
Go ahead.
Not knowing what to expect.
But isn't there always something before the storm?
Yeah.
Don't we always say there's quiet, calm before the storm?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good one. I like that. Yeah, but
calm
this one is in heaven. I'm like, wow, in heaven it's quiet. So, but it does have a symbol.
This is Dr. Susie. You know, I just got so excited about this piece. This is Dr. Susie and May, and one of the things that just lit me up is, you know, I don't know about you all, but as a person of color, I'm always saying, how long, Lord? How long, you know, do we have to endure? But, you know, heaven is quieted not to hear the praises anymore, but to hear the cries for deliverance and justice of God's persecuted servants.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
God is listening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
That's right.
Lord, have mercy.
Right.
Hallelujah.
God is absolutely listening. So, somebody else, why do you think it's quiet? Why do you think it's quiet for about half an hour?
Eric, this is right out of it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. A lot of times, well, I'll put it this way. Being in the military, anytime there was going to be a big offense, which meant that we were going to go forward into the enemy territory, there was a time that everybody had to prepare, and during that time, people just kind of stayed to themselves and said whatever prayers, finished whatever letters they had to send back home, and it was a time of preparation. I think that half hour gave them time to prepare for what was about to come, and also Jesus time to hand out the trumpets to his angels and give instructions.
Alert. Preparation.
There you go.
Alert.
Okay. Anybody else?
I think it was because God was on the throne.
Okay. Amen. Anybody else?
You know, this one reminds me.
This
is Joan Inman. This one actually reminds me when Jesus, we have also another way of doing it, celebrating in church, and which I really miss because I think that's how I had started having a relationship with God. What was that? When he was crucified, right, and died after the seven stations or 13 stations, the cross station, and we go there. Even all night for 3 days, we don't go to sleep. We alternate. And then those who are mourning, they go inside the church all by itself, covered. Everything is covered. And there's a where you could kneel down there and for as long as you want, forever long. And I sit down there because I I'm even crying because he died, and that's how I was very close on that matter, and just reflected on this matter because it's so quiet. Everything, the church changed. They took off all the picture because Jesus is gone, but only as one person take turn to stay there and just like awake and watch him at the same time. So we use the altar as the tomb, like a coffin or something like that, and we watch it, and all night long for 3 days. So and
okay.
That's how it reminds me of this story or this Bible
okay.
reading.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And it's a movement as well from mercy to judgment.
Mm,
we're transitioning
yeah.
from mercy to judgment. We're transitioning.
So,
and reminded again of the power of Jesus Christ, you know, as the Lamb of God. And people aren't lost because, right, they're sinners. They lost because they rejected Christ. So we're
okay.
reminded of that. You know, for me, I'm thinking about this all the time, that I need to remember that to keep those things before me so that I witness as I go make disciples. As I go, I keep that on my heart, that the judgment is coming, and that's for a brief moment, that lull in judgment, you know, is the movement from mercy to grace as well.
Okay. So all of you have great thoughts and elements, and all of you are right. But here's what I'd like you to consider. So how many seals were there when Jesus received the scroll?
There were seven altogether.
Yeah. Okay, right.
But this was when
the
sixth seal was open. This is after
the
sixth seal.
This is the seventh seal, right?
Right.
Right.
There were seven total, and this is the seventh one in chapter 8, right?
Right, the last one.
Right.
So the fact that he's breaking the seventh seal now reveals the scroll to be open. Remember, it was written on both sides.
Which was
right.
completely.
Now the people in heaven get to see exactly what's written here, what God has decreed.
Mm.
Nobody knew the time or the hour. Nobody knew how it was going to happen. But now all of a sudden, when the seventh seal is broken and removed, everybody gets to see it because now God's wrath has been revealed.
Hmm.
And it is awe-inspiring that no one has anything to say. Because there's
but
no more
ordered,
speculation.
But he ordered, as the Lord, he ordered silence. He demanded, you know, Jesus is now orchestrating this. So he orders
that
a halt
doesn't say
on
that,
all
Dr.
fronts,
Susie.
Heaven, hell, earth. Nothing can move without his permission. He's ordered the cessation of natural forces on earth and everywhere.
I know that, but this says when the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence throughout heaven for about half an hour.
Yes.
They,
right.
Now everybody gets to see exactly what's decreed. Have you ever, not even read, or have you ever read or heard something that was so profound to you that it left you speechless?
Yeah. Yes.
Good, bad, or different. That right. It just left you that you just couldn't even say anything.
No, you had to scratch your
and
head.
How many of us can really be quiet for about half an hour and not say anything?
Mm.
This one is
all right.
Scary, though.
But this seal has now been revealed. The writing on this title deed that Jesus has received is now open for everyone in heaven to see. And now he's moving into the trumpets, which are wraps more progressive than the first four seals. And so if someone could read 6 through 12 for me. 8, 6 through 12.
So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and the hall and the fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And the third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burned with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and the great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star was Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night.
So,
amen.
What do you think about that? What do you think if you saw all that?
I'd be scared.
Me too.
Yeah, you think you fall on your knees and fall on your face and say, Lord, I truly know that you exist.
Yes, I'm
I don't, you know, I can't say, and I'm not saying anyone on this call is this, but I can't say that when I read the account of creation that I actually believe all that. But now that I see all of this going on, exist.
It
you
makes
reign
you a
supreme.
Believer. Right, right.
One would think, right? I mean, one
right.
would think that if you had to see all this and you were still living and you saw all this, that you would then become a believer that, yeah, there's a God that sits high and looks low.
Right.
So in Genesis 1, we talked about God looked over all he had made and saw that it was excellent in every way.
Yes, right.
But now we see death and destruction. We see
right.
the grass and the plants burning up. We see the water becoming
bitter.
Mixed with blood as it happened in
right.
when the children in Egypt. We see the water supply being destroyed. The fresh water becoming bitter. We see animals dying in the ocean. We see
right.
navigational problems and commerce problems with the third of the ships being destroyed, which he says that clearly. And that's commerce. That's you know, we fly a lot of stuff around, but there are still more goods that travel by ship from country to country than they do flying stuff.
Right.
All right.
Right.
Yeah, this.
And we see the heavens being destroyed to the point to where the day is a third less darker, a third less light than it would be normally. The moon and the stars are not giving off the light that they would normally give. And we know that there have been times that there have people that have worshipped the heavens, the stars, and all of that stuff, and God is saying, no, I created them. You need to be worshiping the creator, not the creation. So tell you what,
right.
I'm going to make it so that you understand that I am in control.
Amen. Amen to that.
Well, this is Dr. Susie. And the thing to understand is that the way we see, the way our eyes are designed, is that we have to have light to help us to focus and see.
Amen.
So as the light was diminished, folk couldn't see as good.
Right.
You don't have, with no light, you don't have vision.
Right.
Wow.
The third.
Well, that's true, but they didn't have vision anyway. At this point,
all right.
Now that's why God is punishing them. They didn't have
the
vision that they absolutely needed. You're absolutely right, Dr. Susie, that you can't have vision in darkness. You can't see. You're groping around this and that. But they didn't have the true spiritual vision that they needed, which is why all of these things are happening.
Yeah.
Amen.
Spirit connected, yes.
And the sad part about this is that there are still a lot of people. We know that even in the midst of tribulation, God is still going to save those who come to their senses and accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. We know
Amen.
That as we've read the story.
Right.
But there
yes.
are still millions and possibly billions that don't. And if you are, I mean, think about this right now. Think about this right now. If you got up tomorrow and somebody told you, you turned on CNN, MSNBC, Fox, ABC, CBS, whatever channel, and they told you, listen, last night, a third of the ships were destroyed in the ocean. A third of the, we think we got fires in California and out west. Well, a third of the continent has burned up. A third of the fresh water supply has been contaminated and it can't be drank anymore. And you looked out there and you saw the sun shining, but 30% less, a third, 33% less than it normally shines. And you look out at night and the moon is almost dark and you can hardly see any stars anymore. What would you think?
Thank God we heard, we read these words.
That's right.
I hear you, Sister Joan. But let's suppose for a minute you hadn't read this word.
Symbols. What are the symbols that we need to learn? Because when we were reading the Luke, somewhere in Luke 5th to 36, and I would say. But anyway, it says that we have to be careful who we listen to, if in any
Amen.
Case.
Right, but what would you think? You hadn't read this word. You didn't know this. What would you think?
Confused if I didn't know anything about God.
Yeah.
Okay, you'd be confused.
Right.
Okay, that's plausible.
Yeah, this is Britt. I would think that most people would think that somebody has dropped atomic bombs everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, that's plausible. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
This is Sherry from North Carolina, and I would be, somebody would probably think, oh, well, this right here is what a result of us messing up the ozone layer.
Plausible, yep.
Yep, yep. Yep. Think about climate change, yeah.
Yeah.
You ain't got to worry about that no more. Third of that gone already.
Thank God.
This is Brother Mateo from Maine. Can you hear me?
Hey, brother.
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I agree. I think that scientists, well, they would get a person up there and call them an expert like they always do, and have them come up with some scientific fact that doesn't exist to show us why the gases and all these things are doing what they're doing to make the sun look the way it looks, just like they try to explain away things today without telling people it's God's judgment on the earth. Like there's 20 to 30 countries that are underwater right now. The things that they call in the sky sun dogs, which are really refractions off the dome. It's a lot of stuff going on right now to this day that a certain so-called expert is trying to explain away, and that's what's blinding people who believe in God to knowing that judgment is happening right now.
Right.
All right.
Amen.
Correct.
This is Dr. Susie.
Brother Mateo, thank you, because this reminds me, I was watching some Modern Miracles, whatever it was. But anyway, there was a guy who was actually trying to explain that there was no way that God could have parted the Red Sea for the children of Israel to walk through on dry land. That he had really come up with, well, if the winds blow at the right angle, with the right speed, with the right velocity, you can actually park the water. And I'm like, and this was my question. Well, have you ever seen that happen?
Exactly.
And he, and he's like, no. And I'm like, well, then how can you explain that? You can't give that analogy and you've not seen that happen.
Right.
And we only
right.
have one occurrence of it happening.
Well, and science has actually gone back and determined that it had happened, and there was a certain they did explain how it could happen and how they perceived that it happened. So there is science that can sometimes explain some of this stuff and reinforce. You know, people think that the Lord doesn't use the nature that we have to help reinforce what he says and does. But there's always, you know, nature does that as well. Not that we can't live off of the truth and faith, but the reality is God provides, we have an answer to everything. We just got to discover it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
believe that God has put everything
Susan.
Here. So, well, let me
yeah,
say this one thing before we go on further, because we're almost near the end. Hold on, Brett. I wanted to say that, you know, we were talking about these things dropping into, like, mountains dropping in the sea. They're even talking now about meteors that are passing the earth and how they're concerned that they may hit the earth. So we don't know. It could be that one of the meteors, one of the heavy mountains, one of the would drop in the sea. We don't know, but what we need to be doing is being aware that things are happening and checking, observing science, observing what's going on around you so that you understand. Like Eric said earlier, what if somebody said to you that a third of this was happening, a third of that is happening? Be prepared that if a mountain should fall into the sea, you know, a meteor that's big as a mountain or bigger,
so let me,
and
let,
what it would
let
do.
Me re- this is Eric. Let me
hey,
read
Eric.
This, and then I want to go. Let me read this quickly,
Eric.
And I want to go on to 13. The judgments announced by the first four trumpets are so shocking and severe that our natural tendency is to doubt their literal meaning. Of course, Revelation uses numerous symbols to communicate the future, but these symbols always point to real events. The judgments described in Revelation 8 that involves the tree, grass, seas, rivers, and atmosphere are so dreadful that no amount of government aid, volunteer work, or preparation would be able to bring about a recovery. When we're tempted to water down this language, soften its severity, or seek spiritual interpretations rather than literal ones, we must remind ourselves that Revelation describes the beginning of the end. Jesus said clearly, "For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Even the flood of Noah will pale in comparison." So whatever explanations they want to bring about to you, it's ordained by Jesus Christ and God that these things will
Amen.
Happen, and they will happen. Now, whether
Amen.
We be here to see it or not, they will happen.
Yeah.
And
Amen.
It's an opportunity. God is speaking through this tribulation to those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and His authority. And this is still
yeah.
another opportunity through all of this for them to come to their senses, and most of them don't. And now I want to read this one because we'll end on this one. I know time is short. This is 13. Then I looked up and I heard a single eagle crying aloud as it flew through the air, "Terror, terror, terror, or woe, woe, woe to all who belong to this world because of what will happen when the last three angels blow their trumpets."
Mm.
All right.
So we had this 30-minute silence after the seventh seal was broken so that the scroll, the title deed, was open and people could see it. Now you have this one single eagle flying through the air speaking. Is that the only
and
time an animal
up.
Spoke?
No.
That you recall?
No.
No, Balaam had the donkey speaking.
That's right.
Right.
But not only that, the reality is we have birds and parrots to talk all the time, so it's not abnormal for for God to have an eagle speak?
Well, it is uncommon for God to have an eagle speak because God is doing it because eagles don't speak. We know parrot and parakeets, they do. We know that they do.
Do you have an eagle as a pet?
No, but I've not seen one speak, and I heard one speak either.
But the issue is people don't have eagles
as
pets. No, that's what I'm saying. But we do know. But what we know about science is that birds, like birds of prey, have the ability to talk. We don't take eagles in and make them pets, so we don't know. We really don't know what they can do. So I'm just saying, even though God can miraculously make an eagle talk, it doesn't mean that the eagle couldn't talk anyway. We don't know that because that's not what we do. We don't go and try to make eagles and other birds talk.
This is Johnny Maine. May I ask a question if this is the eagle that was one of the four faces close by the throne?
Well, that's a good question.
What?
That's a good question. But I just think
that
it's an eagle.
That is a good question, but it does not say that it was one of the four beasts that was before the Lord.
Yeah.
It just says that I heard a single eagle, and we know that the four beasts before the Lord had four separate faces, one being an eagle.
Yes.
So it really doesn't tell us, Sister Joan.
Okay.
I'll try to do some research on that, though. I really will.
All right.
So I want us to leave with these four takeaways for tonight. First, God values and responds to the prayers of his people. He may not answer your prayers instantly, but that doesn't mean that he isn't listening and doesn't care. So
Amen.
Don't stop praying.
Amen.
Second, God uses natural disasters to communicate spiritual messages.
Amen.
This is very difficult to accept, especially for many who have gone through a terrible disaster of recent years. God sometimes uses suffering to draw our attention to him. Third, God's harsh judgment have a holy purpose. Nobody
Amen.
Denies that the first four trumpets judgment resulted in devastation, hardship, and death. Yet even in the face of God's most severe discipline, we must submit, surrender, and release our wills to him. And fourth, God won't stop until his plan is accomplished.
Amen.
The sad reality of these first four trumpet judgments is that they are only the beginning. In our own lives, we can choose to heed the warning God gives us in his word, through fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, or in our circumstances, or we can harden our hearts. Either way, God will eventually work out his plan.
Amen.
Amen.
This is Dr. Susie. In relation to Joan's question, I want to read this.
Yeah.
It says, before the last three trumpets sound, John hears a flying eagle call out, "Whoa," three times. His cry announces this especially grievous nature of the last three plagues, which kill a third part population of the earth in 9:18. Two of the woes are identified with the fifth and sixth trumpets. See the comments on, which argue that the third woe should be seen as a seven bowl judgment. The inhabitants of the earth distinguishes the Christ rejectors of the world from the true faithful followers of the Lamb. A flying eagle announces these words. This must be taken, this is their perspective, symbolically. In Revelation, there are two other references to eagles, 4:7 and 12:14. Since 4:7 relates to the description of one of the four living beings, which is what you were talking about, Joan, it may be that John intends the eagle mentioned here to have the same significance. So it's not you're not way off, because these are commentators who study this their whole lives. You know, this is what they do. So other people have had that thought as well. And I was just sharing that to let you know that your thinking is on topic, you know. So a lot of the stuff that we are listening to, the reason we said come let us reason together is because there are different ideologies of different commentators who have different perspectives. And that's why we're here, to look at all of it, to hear it, to examine it, and for God to give us clarity.
Amen.
So tonight,
and
if there's anybody who has heard the word of God and they understand how awesome God is and how victorious God is, and that you want to be on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you recognize the woes that are coming, and you have not accepted him as your personal Savior, and tonight you want to accept him with your mouth, believe in your heart that Christ died and rose again, and that you will rise with him forever. If you believe that and say this prayer, Lord, please accept me into your heart, into your family. I want to be a part of your family. I believe, I confess, and I receive. And so as a result of that, I just ask that you be with me and live with my in my heart from now until eternity. And so we ask that if you've done that, you are truly a child of God. God has accepted you. The Holy Spirit will come and reside within you. But we ask that you get involved in a Bible-believing church so that you can study the Word of God and you can be nurtured by a community of faith, but that you don't forget us here and you join us for your place to continue with Bible study and learning more of God. And for those of you who are here on the line, we just ask that you bring somebody with you next week and that you know truly that we're seeking and searching to hear a word from the Lord. We want to thank Eric for the work tonight and for the Bible study leading and sacrifice and studying that he's continued to pursue. And we thank all of you for joining and studying as well. And we expect you to bring more questions back next week and understanding of the word of God in chapter 9. Brother Brett?
Well, you've been listening to Blog Talk Radio. Our Bible study meets every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just let your fingers walk on your phone and dial 646-478-4932. Remember, Dr. Susie is the show's host and moderator. Eric is our spiritual and leader.
Good night. Thank you. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.